Let's all open our Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, as we begin to worship and to study God's Word together. The subject that I have is God's plan for lasting friendships. Lasting friendships. I've thought about friends and what friends are and who friends are, and I might repeat myself a little later, but while it's on my mind, a lot of you are on Facebook. Have you looked to see how many friends you have on Facebook? Seriously. I did when I was getting ready for this, because I was thinking, friends on Facebook, some are those that are, there's a distinction between just people that are on your list and those that are your followers. But I have 786 friends. I don't have a clue who half of them are. It's because they're a friend of a friend of a friend. You know, it goes like that. So it made me think a lot about friends and what friends are and what makes a person a friend. And so today I wanted to use this text and speak, and because it speaks to us about friendship. And I want to develop 10 points, 10 thoughts about in a plan for lasting friendship. I had asked Walter earlier if folks were on from Florida. Are they? Okay, good. And the reason I asked that is because, and I don't know who all is on there right now, but I know some of them. And some of those folks, we have been friends most all of our life. And a lot of our friendships began at youth camp. When we were young kids and then teenagers, that friendship developed. I'm thinking of some that I know that are on there. We've gone through thick and thin together. We've lost children, and we've shared that together. Some have lost spouses, and we've shared that together. We shared a time of bearing children. We have pictures of Kathy and some of these other ladies that are there pushing their strollers with the little ones in there, some of their early children pushing them around the camp. So they had a good head start. But I just think of those are friendships that have lasted in the same way that you have friends and we're friends. Our friendships might not have gone on for 50 or 60 years, but we're friends. And I want to explain why we're friends. But look at the text this morning. He says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know, we've gone through a big epidemic here the last several years ago. But there's another epidemic that we're facing, not just in America, but around the world, really. And it's the epidemic of loneliness. Loneliness. Though most of us are surrounded by people, there are people that live in our society that are living in loneliness. Everyone from a child on up to aging seniors experience feelings of isolation or rejection or seclusion. And so the idea of loneliness is something that can affect all of us from time to time. Now, there are two types of loneliness. The first is social loneliness, and this occurs when we're isolated from our family and our friends. And a lot of people go through that. A lot of people are isolated because of their jobs or perhaps the military, but for different reasons they're isolated from their families and from their friends. So social loneliness is one. A second and even worse is emotional loneliness. Emotional. I think this is the most common type of loneliness. And this type of loneliness occurs when we feel that we have no one to share our deepest concerns with. We have no one who truly understands our struggles, let alone our joys. And so that's an emotional loneliness. Every human being needs friendship. And we need friendship on two different levels. We need horizontal friendship. That is, we need deep, meaningful friendships with people. And that's what Proverbs says in the first part of this text. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. So he's saying we need to have friends. We need to have people who are our friends. In other words, this we have to work at building a friendship. And so the question that I want to ask is, do we work at building friendships with others, or do we just hope it happens? You know, sometimes when you get up to be teenagers, a lot of teenagers, they go through that phase where they want to have friends, but they just don't know how to get in there, and they don't put an effort out. So we have to put an effort out. For a person to have friends, he must show himself friendly. But we also need a vertical friendship, don't we? And that's also brought out in the second part of this text, where it says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that friend who is closer than a brother is Jesus Christ. And unless you have a personal friendship with Jesus, you will never escape loneliness. Oh, how I love Jesus, how I need Jesus every day of life. In two people in the Old Testament, and only two people in the Old Testament are referred to specifically as friends of God. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. And so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Moses, the friend of God. In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 23, it says, now Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So there's two. Moses, the friend of God, and Abraham, the friend of God. So those two specifically. Now, let's move to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 15, verse 15, I want you to notice that Jesus is speaking now to his disciples. And I want you to notice what he's saying. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. So now, Jesus is talking to those disciples, but he's talking to you and me today, too. He calls us friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And so Jesus is calling us his friends. So we have those two in the Old Testament, and then we have Jesus calling each of us his friends. Now, I want us to kind of give a blueprint for lasting friendship. And I want us to examine 10 characteristics of genuine friends. That's why I mentioned a little bit ago about Facebook friends. We have to distinguish between friends, acquaintances, or just somebody I know. You know, there's a big difference. And so sometimes it might be hard to introduce somebody. You know, we might know them a little bit, but are they really a friend? But let's listen. 10 things about a friend. First of all, friends listen. Friends listen. Some of us were talking this morning as we were here. I was talking with one person, and we were chatting away, and another person walks up and just kind of looks at me and goes on talking. And I said, well, hey, how are you? Good to see you this morning. Glad you're okay. Sure nice to talk to you. You know, because that person was listening to somebody else, you know, not me. Now, my point is just very simple, and I'm not going to tell you it was Brother Raymond. But the thing is that friends listen, and I know he listens. Don't get me wrong. I'm just picking on him here. Well, no, Ann says he doesn't. But anyway, friends listen. A genuine friend, friends have open ears. They're going to listen to what you say. You know, many people are self-centered, and all they know to talk about is themselves. They don't listen to what you're saying because they're too busy thinking about what they want to say to you in response. You can get half of a sentence out, and they're already thinking, oh, I know how I'm going to respond to this, and they haven't even heard half of what you've said. But a true friend is going to listen when you speak. because he wants to understand how you feel. He wants to understand what you are concerned about. I heard a story, Chuck Swindoll tells this, a story about one of his daughters when she was quite small. One day he'd been working hard at church and at the ministry, and he came in and he sat down in his easy chair and he sat back and he just wanted to watch the last half of a football game and just relax and enjoy it. And he said as soon as he sat down, his little daughter came up, and that little child is just chattering away so fast. And finally he says, and he's trying to listen to the game, he's trying to listen to her, and finally he says, "Honey, you've got to slow down, you're talking too fast." And just like that, she said, "No, Daddy, I'm not talking too fast, you're listening too slow." In other words, her point was, you're not listening to me, you know. But a true friend is going to listen to us. Well, Jesus, because Jesus is our best friend, he listens to us. Listen to Psalm 91, verse 15. "He shall call upon me," and God is speaking here, "he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." You see, God, that's a promise that God is giving him. We call upon him, he's going to listen, he's going to hear. Isaiah chapter 65 verse 24 says of God, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear." So God listens, God hears what we have to say. And then in Luke chapter 11 verse 9 it says this, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be opened unto you." And then one other, James chapter 5 and verse 16 reminds us of this, "The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Why? Because God is listening to that prayer. So a good friend listens. Secondly, friends share interests together. Genuine friends always find something, some common ground. You think about right now who you would think of as your best friend, other than your spouse or your brother or sister. So who would you think of as your best friend? Just think about that for a moment. Best friends or genuine friends always find some common ground between themselves. Now we might have friends that we think of as friends we don't have any common interest in. Our best friends have something in common with us. And I mentioned a little bit ago the 700 and something friends that I notice I have on Facebook. I would say probably 40 or 50 out of that group are ones I keep up with and that I follow. And I know what's going on in their lives. I know what's happening, and they know what's going on in mine. Now, because Jesus is our friend, Jesus sought common ground with us too, didn't he? Jesus found common ground by coming down here and becoming one of us. That was the common ground. He loved us so much that he became one of us. In fact, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7 says, "And he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." That's the common ground we have with Jesus. And he loved us so much, we're going to see another element fulfilled by him, and that is he loved us so much that he took our sin upon himself and he died for us. That was the common ground. Thirdly, friends protect. Genuine friends always look out for us. They're always going to have your interest and be concerned about your interest. Those of you that are, I'm going to say probably 60 and older in here, remember Walter Winchell? You remember the newscaster? Okay, some of you do. Some of you aren't as old as I am, I know. But here's what he said. He said, "A friend is one who walks in when others walk out." How about that? A friend is someone who walks in when others walk out. I think of a biblical illustration of that was Jonathan and David. Jonathan was a genuine friend of David. When Jonathan's father, King Saul, was planning to kill David, Jonathan sought his best interest, and he warned him, and he protected him, and he helped him to escape because he had his best interest at heart. So here's a question. How do good friends protect each other? How do we protect each other? Well, two ways. One is, and there's probably others, but these two ways I just want us to think about. They know how to keep private things private. That's the first thing. They know how to keep private things private. Remember what was number one? Your good, genuine friends, they listen. They listen to what you say. And if there's things that you're sharing with them that are in private, then a good friend knows how, a genuine friend knows how to keep private things private. Listen to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. You see? In other words, you keep it to yourself. You learn something, a good friend knows how to keep private things private. Secondly, they know they do not allow others to speak badly of us. They do not allow others to speak badly of us. I read of a mother who decked another mother because that mother made fun of her handicapped child. A friend is going to speak badly and not allow others to speak badly about us. And if necessary, they're going to fight for us. Now, if Jesus is our friend, he protects us. Well, how does he protect us? Well, listen through Scripture how he's protected. He protected the Israelites on their way out of bondage to the land of Canaan, the promised land. He protected Elijah when Jezebel was out to kill him. He protected Elisha and showed him, his servant, the army that he had arrayed to destroy the enemy that was coming, that was out to get Elisha. He protected those three fellows in the fiery furnace. He protected Daniel in the lion's den. He protected Jonah in the belly of that great fish. He protected Saul and Silas and countless others who were in prison. And he protects you and me today. He protects us. Psalm 125, verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. And that idea of the Lord surrounding us is that idea of protection. He protects us. And then Psalm 34, verse 7, he says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. So the angel of the Lord is there to protect us. So friends protect one another. Fourth, friends tell the truth. And boy, the truth hurts sometimes, doesn't it? But genuine friends are always honest with us. They're always honest with us. Oscar Wilde wrote this. He said, a true friend always stabs you in the front. A true friend stabs you in the front. Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The kiss that was deceitful that we think of most was the kiss of Judas, wasn't it, with the Lord? That was deceitful. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, sometimes we need to be told the truth, don't we? There are times in our life we need to know the truth. And I think that's what Paul meant and had in mind when he admonished the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 15, to speak the truth in love. See, that's the key. That's the key for most everything when we're talking, isn't it? But speak the truth in love. Now, we need to be told when we've offended somebody. You know, I've had it happen to me, and I'm sure you have too, that somehow, and preachers sometimes can offend people, but all of us can. But I have offended somebody years and years ago, probably since then, but I know one case anyway. I offended somebody, and I didn't know that I had offended them. And all of a sudden, that person's just acting strange to me. The whole relationship seemed to change. But nobody told me that I had offended that person. Oh, how I wish they had have. So that's what happens. We need to be told sometimes when we, or not sometimes, all the time, when we have offended somebody. We need to be told when we have made a mistake. And we need to be told the truth when we're about to make a bad decision. And so we need to know the truth. And a genuine friend is always going to be honest with us. So a true friend, speaking the truth in love, is going to risk not being liked by us in order to help us. They'll risk that to let us know the truth. Now, because Jesus is our friend, he deals with us in loving honesty. He's always honest with us, isn't he? Through his word, through the Holy Spirit, through the counsel of others. He uses others to speak directly to us. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." In other words, the word of God cuts. It cuts. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through this Holy Spirit. And he speaks to us through one another. And sometimes the truth hurts. It cuts, doesn't it? But we need to hear it. The truth of Jesus is like the surgeon's scalpel. It cuts to heal. It cuts to heal. And then fifth, friends overlook faults. And don't jump at that one yet till I'm finished. That friends overlook faults. Genuine friends accept us, warts and all. They accept us as we are. Lawrence Peters says that you can tell a real friend by the fact that when you've made a fool of yourself, he doesn't feel like you've done a permanent job. Have you ever made a fool of yourself? Well, a real friend just realize, well, he did now, but it's not permanent. You know, it'll change. Now, because Jesus is our friend, he overlooks our faults. And here's what I mean by that. You know, many people have the false idea that when a person comes to Jesus, he must come to him right away with a clean life. And if his life isn't clean, then he can't come to Jesus. That's a false idea that people have. What I mean by that, when Jesus overlooks our faults, he accepts us where we are. Just as I am, without one plea, we sing that hymn. During his personal ministry, Jesus associated with what many would call the dregs of humanity. He associated with every kind of sinner that you can imagine. And the religious establishment said this about Jesus. Because of that, they identified him as a friend of sinners. You know, I think Jesus took that as a medal of honor, that he was a friend of sinners. Now, don't misunderstand. Jesus does not condone our sin. He does not condone it. He hates our sin. And he's the only one who can take away our sin. And he's the only one who can clean up our life. So no matter how dirty we might be in coming to him, Jesus is the one who accepts us as we are, but he's the one then who cleans our life and cleans our heart. And then number six, friends bear burdens. Genuine friends help you carry your load. And you know, there's all kinds of loads that we have to carry in life, aren't there? I'm just thinking here right now of Brother Jim and Brother Raymond. Brother Clay's not here, but I just think of the two of them right now and what they went through with their surgeries, with their open heart surgeries. And oh, how we were lifting them up and holding them up to the Lord for his healing hand to be upon them. and they're here today. We bear genuine friends, help carry your load. Oftentimes, our life gives us burdens to carry, difficult things to carry. It might be the loss of a job. It might be a handicap. It might be poor health. Or it might be the loss of a loved one. We could go on and on with the loads that we might have to carry in life. But Galatians chapter 6 tells us this, as to be good friends, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. We're going to have adversity, but we've got that brother that will hold us up and bear that burden. Well, now, because Jesus is our friend, he takes our burden upon himself. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Oh, we ought to, probably most of us have this one memorized. Cast all your care upon him for what? He cares for you. Cast your care upon him. He cares for you. What does that mean? That means whatever your care, whatever your burden, he's concerned about it, and he'll care for it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus gives us this invitation, really. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. That's another phrase for all of you that are burdened. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. And then number 7, friends are loyal. Genuine friends are loyal. A friend is someone that you can always count on. You always know that, like the expression today is, I have your back. They always know, you know, that they have your back. Well, because Jesus is our friend, we can always count on him. Because he's taught us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. And never means forever. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I think a good illustration of that is in Luke chapter 15, where it records the story of the prodigal son. And all of his friends had deserted him. Nobody's left. He heads home just hoping he can be part of the servant staff, you know. But who's waiting for him? His loving dad, his loving father. And his father accepts him and brings him home, and they have a big celebration. And so we know that Jesus is someone we can always count on. Whatever we go through, whatever we're going through in life, he's always there. He's someone that we can always count on. And then number 8, genuine friends bring out our best. Genuine friends always want what is best for us in our life. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. In other words, iron is just like, as a meat cutter, I have all of my knives, but I have a steel, what they call a steel. Some of you know what it is. It's a round steel metal, and you take your knife and you go up and down on it and you sharpen it. As iron sharpens iron, so he says a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. In other words, what he's saying is a friend always seeks the best for us. So a true friend always encourages us to do our best. And because Jesus is our friend, he brings out our best. Listen at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. And then James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So he's always working and thinking the best for us. And then number 9, friends build us spiritually. You know, we talk about the needs that we have, someone to carry our burdens, someone we can share everything in life with. But, you know, a genuine friend wants us to become more like Christ. I think of the hymn, "More Like the Master I Would Ever Be." And a genuine friend wants us to be more like Christ. So what are they going to do? Well, they're going back to some of the others. They're going to listen to us, and they're going to want the best for us. And that is, they want us to be more like Christ. And if they see something in our life, because they're going to be honest with us and they're going to tell the truth, they're going to let us know, hey, you're getting off course here. And we need to be getting more. You need to get more back in line with Christ. Someone once said, a friend is one who knows you as you are, understands where you've been, accepts who you've become, and still gently invites you to grow. Isn't that a good thought? They know who you are, they know where you've been, they know where you are, but they invite you to grow. And so because Jesus is a friend, is our friend, he wants us to grow. That's why we're taught in Scripture, grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And then last of all, number 10, genuine friends express their love. Jesus' greatest expression of love was how? Through his death, wasn't it? He came down to this earth and he lived among men. He ministered among men. He healed. He raised the dead. He did all kinds of wonderful things. But yet it says, he said it himself in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no man than this, than a man laid down one's life for his friends. And that's what he did. Someone asked Jesus one time, how much do you love me? And Jesus spread out his arms and said, this much. And he died. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves me. So friendship with Jesus, in closing now, is the path to real joy. Friendship with Jesus brings us, first of all, the joy of salvation. And what a great joy that is. Friendship with Jesus brings us the joy of God's indwelling, God's living within us. Friendship with Jesus brings us the joy of fruit bearing. Because the Spirit of God lives within us, we can bear much fruit. Friendship with Jesus brings us the joy that exceeds a conqueror, because Paul says we're more than conquerors. And friendship with Jesus brings us the joy of a need supplier. My God shall supply all your need through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I want to encourage all of us to be real friends to your friends and to enjoy your friendship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your blessings to us, and we thank you, Lord, for the gift of friendship. Lord, we thank you that you desire for us to have friends, and we need friends. In fact, you thought of friendship at the very beginning when you created man, because you created Adam, and then you realized it's not good for man to live alone, and you gave him his companion, his friend, Eve. So, Father, we thank you for the friendships that we have. We thank you for the friendships that we have in this world, those that we can count on in every way, those that we can depend upon. Oh, Lord, we just praise you for them. And, Lord, I thank you for the friendship that we have with Jesus Christ, with your Son. Oh, Lord, may that friendship be growing every day. May our relationship with Jesus grow every day so that we can enjoy joy in this life. And it's in the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.